I'm so honored to be able to preach. We've never done this before. And so I'm honored to preach with my wife, Summer. And then I'm honored to preach with my parents, Pastor Kim and Pastor Renee. And amen, give them a shout out. Come on in. Awesome people. Thank you. And thank you for your kindness and love. I'm 20 years old. It's a miracle. Thank you so much. My mom and dad have been married for 42 years. And and they were the pastors here for 30 years. And they transitioned to Summer and I in 2014. And I'm so grateful to have them here doing this with us. They're still, they're very much a part of what we're doing here. And my dad's going to Uganda tomorrow. We have completed our fourth orphanage, paid cash, this year in Uganda. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. And so, yeah, it could be a great day today.
No, I'm excited as well. It's Sunday fun day, so we're in our IU gear, and I'm one who has graduated. Me and Pastor Kim have graduated from IU, so that's exciting. And obviously, Pastor Renee, I don't know if anyone knows, it's just some fun nuggets, but Pastor Renee worked at IU as well, and Pastor David took some classes at IU, so we, you know, we are Hoosier family we're representing today. But anyway, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be a part, and I appreciate both of you very, very much.
Thank you for having Pastor Renee and I with you today. And please understand, as we share this morning, and David's got a good outlay of from the scripture, that I'm far from a perfect husband, far from a perfect parent. I feel like, Renee, you and I were good and are good parents, but the Lord was better to us than we were parents. And so I thank you for understanding as we share with you today from that perspective.
Well, it's just great to be here today and just to share with David and Summer and, of course, my husband. And just God's been so good and so faithful to our family and to this church. And I just want to give him glory and honor today for that. And also happy birthday, David, to you, 41. And I remember that day well. Praise God.
Why'd you got to tell my age? Why'd you got to tell my age? Man, I just said I'm 20. 20.
41, Dave.
20. What do you remember about that?
Embrace
day?
It. And they
you
say 40s are new beginnings.
Yes.
Amen. So we might as well embrace it. And I've just learned through the years that it's just a number anyway. Right? It's how we think about it. So happy birthday. It's great to be up here with you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Now we're in the fourth week of our series, GOAT, which is an acronym, Greatest of All Time.
Yes.
Every week we've done a fun poll on social media. Many of you have participated. And then we've taken the winner of that, and then we preach on it in a fun way. So the first weekend, we did the greatest decade, and you guys voted the 80s was the best decade of all time. One person in the back, amen. And then the second weekend, we did the greatest athlete of all time, and you guys voted Michael Jordan. And last week, we did the greatest entertainer of all time, and then everyone voted for Michael Jackson. And so this week, we did the greatest TV family. And you guys voted. So do you know, I mean, you want to know who won this week? Maybe some of you, do you guys want to know who won this week? This is what you picked. You picked this. And so the winner of the greatest TV family is. Well, a couple of guys, they were up and no good.
Come on now.
Come on, give it up. That's who won. So, we know, you know, it's funny on TV, you know, a lot of these shows, and they had some great episodes, and that was a great show. And, you know, all TV families, you know, it's funny, they solve major crisis like in 20 minutes, right? And how many know that is not reality? And my dad already said it, we're not a perfect family. We never want to come off that way. You know, it's my heart and our heart to never preach at you. That's not our heart here at City Church. We're talking with you every week in relevant ways. And so we just want to encourage you and speak from experience. And so Summer and I want to set my parents up, and we're going to ask them some questions based from Scripture and share nuggets with us on how we can grow and really have what God wants us to have in our family. Now, no matter where your family is today, and no matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're married, you're not married, you're in school, you're out of school, you're wanting kids, you're getting ready to have kids, or you have grandkids, no matter what. I believe this message will speak to you and that God has something for you in it. So if you want to take notes, you can flip over your worship guide and jot some things down. Or just pull them in your heart, because I believe God wants to speak some things to us. And I believe that our families can be touched by the power of God. How about you? I don't care, no matter what our family's dealing with. And in fact, before I read here a great passage of Scripture, the Bible says that all he needs is one person in a family.
Yeah.
So all he needs is one. So whether your family you feel like is messed up, whether you feel like it's great, whether you feel like your family tree, I mean, you're embarrassed about it or you feel good about it, no matter where, here's the deal. I believe that God, all he needs is one person.
Thank you, God.
And if he has one person, he can take that person and do a miracle and a domino effect.
Amen.
And touch generations in your family tree. Come on, give it up one more time for Jesus. I believe that. So if you have your Bibles, you can please turn with me to Psalms 128. If not, just follow me on the screen. We're going to pick apart four promises that are in these verses. I personally pray this every day over my wife and my children. I would encourage you to do the same if you feel led to. Here's what the Bible says. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Father, I thank you for this great worship experience. I thank you, Lord, for those watching online today. I thank you, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done. I thank you for keeping us safe in this room and as we leave today and having a fun time in the after party today. I thank you, Lord, that all of us lay down our resistance. We set aside our distractions and all of us would just receive what you have for us today. And Lord, that we have hope no matter where we're at in life and no matter where our family is, that we have hope that you can do anything. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So with family, as we already said, we're not the perfect family, not the greatest family, but we know that in family you have to, I would say a healthy family has hard conversations. And so I'm going to set up Mom Renee here, but talking about my first point is on attitude and career. And so when I was working at one point outside of the church, I definitely had like a funky attitude. And Pastor Renee is one who, if you ever meet, you know she's very motherly, very nurturing, very kind, very sweet. However, she does have a fear of the Lord in her, and she will correct you. And so I appreciate her loving me enough to tell me the truth. And so I just want to say thank you for that. But along with this, just reminding ourselves of verse 2, it says, you will, I love that, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor.
Yeah.
And how joyful and prosperous you will be. And so we know with joy, joy is a strength, it's definitely a choice. I believe joy is a force to be reckoned with. It is a weapon use. And so my question to you, Mom Renee, Pastor Renee, is how can we balance, this is good, how can we balance being a Christian and having a good career and a challenging career?
All right. Well, thank you. Well, interestingly enough, obviously we are pastors and we serve Jesus. So you might assume that it's really easy for us to be Christians all the time. Well, it's not. It hasn't always been easy to be a Christian because character gets challenged, our thoughts get challenged, our feelings get challenged, people challenge us. And so keeping that foremost is to please God has to be first and foremost, whether you're a pastor or you're a professor, you're a school teacher, insurance salesman, whatever career you are in, it's like, am I going to let, my dad used to say, let Jesus be Jesus in me. Am I going to let the Lord work in my life through his word and change me and correct me so I can be what I'm supposed to be in this career of being a pastor? You know, and with our careers, we set goals, don't we? We have plans. We have visions. We want to see certain things happen. And we love our timetable next month, right? Or today, tomorrow. And when we first became pastors, we had, it's far from everything now. It was poster board, honey.
That's right.
Poster board up on the front with a big marker. And we wrote 200, 400, 800, 1,600,
5,000,
yeah. The ultimate goal of church growth, people coming to our church and winning the loss to Christ. It wasn't just about numbers. It was wanting to impact people. And all of a sudden, that just wasn't happening. Our goal wasn't being realized. And it became frustrating. And sometimes it's like, what are we doing wrong? And in that, we can blame God. Like, God, where are you? We're doing good. Aren't we doing good? Why aren't you supporting us? Or we can start blaming each other, which that's a trick of the enemy. I'll just tell you that right now. When you want to start blaming your spouse or blame people, when we put the blame on others, then that causes division. But what we decided early on, and I really appreciate your leadership in this, we weren't going to let a setback define us.
Amen.
And that, this is who you are. You will always be here. You will never be there. You just won't. You're just not going to make it. This is your lot. And through my husband's leadership too, we just determined, no, this is not going to be it. And praise God. Thank you for that. We also wanted to make sure our children didn't feel that sense of loss or not achieving. We wanted them to know that they were in a home that we loved God and we were growing and God was with us,
right.
Not away from us.
Right.
During that time, which was a difficult time, I was praying. I encourage you all, always go to God in prayer and just talk to him like you talk right now. Just talk to Jesus. And I was kind of crying around and complaining and feeling sorry for myself. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say to me, get rid of your stinking thinking. Ouch. Jesus, I'm hurting right now. Why did you tell me that, And so he just encouraged me. He said, and it's not about you anyway. Well, that was a revelation. It's not about me, So through that, God, then how should I start thinking about this? How should I adjust? So we have to make adjustments. When things don't work out, it's like, okay, how do I refocus? How do I make an adjustment here to start getting my faith strong again, to start believing again, start hoping again, not blaming others, but taking responsibility and make that adjustment so my faith can be strong and we move forward. During that time, my husband also started working outside of pastoring. And we had evangelized for 4 years. In fact, Dave was with us two of those years evangelizing. Then we pastored, or we lived in the church apartment for three. Then we lived in the parsonage for six. And we always wanted to have our own home. So during that time, even though we were struggling at the church, he started working and we were able to get our first home. And we're still in that home. We made an adjustment. We didn't stay stuck when something wasn't happening the way we wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So important. A fun story during that time and teaching lessons to our kids on a Sunday morning. How many of you ladies have experienced bare cupboards? Anybody want to be real out there? Bare cupboards? Man, we don't have very many people raising their hands. Praise God. It's okay. But I woke up on a Sunday morning and realized all I had was hamburger buns, three eggs, and maple syrup. I thought, okay, I got to fix breakfast here. What am I going to do? So I decided to make French toast out of hamburger buns. Get it all made, put it on the table. Dave's in about fifth grade. Dave looks at it and goes, what's this, with an attitude? And I said, it's French toast. It's just round today instead of square. Eat it and be happy. Amen.
And he did.
And he ate it.
Yeah.
Found out it was good. But you know what? A few months later, the Lord brought that morning back to my memory. And he said, Renee, that's just like me answering prayer. a lot of times you're wanting something square, and I want to get it to you round.
I want to get it to you round.
You stay stuck, and when I do answer, you don't realize it. So, you know, let's make those adjustments and flow with God, and we win in the end. Yeah. Praise God.
And wasn't that good stuff right there? Now, I witnessed my parents determining to have joy in a struggling career. And today, maybe your career is thriving. Maybe it's just getting started. Maybe you're looking for it. Maybe you're going to school for it. Or maybe it's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's not working out financially or promotion-wise, whatever. And I saw my mom and dad choose to have joy. I saw them make adjustments so they wouldn't get overtaken. And I want to encourage all of us today, notice that in this passage of Scripture, please hear this today and just pull this in. Your career is important to God. And when you and I serve God, He wants us to enjoy it.
Yes.
Amen. He wants us to enjoy it. No one say anything. And maybe we'll have to adjust our attitude along the way. Yeah. And that's a promise that we have for our family, because our careers help provide for our family, doesn't it?
Right.
And notice the second thing. In verse 3, then he says that when we walk with God, and we can say our wife or our husbands will be strong and blessed, but this in particular says that our wife will be like a fruitful grapevine and our children will be like young olive plants. So that's speaking to a thriving marriage. Now, this is not a perfect marriage, because who has one, right? We don't. And so all of us have ups and downs. If you're going to get married, it won't be perfect, but we can have longevity.
Right.
And we can move forward, and we can not give up. And we can, I believe, grow in love over time. And I believe that. And so, Dad, what are some things that we can do in our marriages and in our parenting to have longevity and to really have, I believe, an ongoing growth in those areas?
Yeah, I want to talk with us about partnership.
Right.
And that's understanding and asking God to reveal to each of us, what are my unique gifts and abilities and strengths? And then how can I develop these? And then again, prayer.
Right.
What is this obvious strengths in my spouse or, the people in my life? And then what we work on, we're still endeavoring to work on, is how do we, and it works for Renee and I, her strengths are my weakness. My strengths are her weakness. And it just works on coming together.
Yeah, that's good.
For what? For the mutual benefit, for the mutual blessing and the blessings of God. That's why Psalm 133 said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
For it's like the precious ointment. In other words, in unity, there's power, there's strength.
Yes.
And based on right values, there's the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
Next part of that is really partnering with our children.
Right.
And obviously, I remember, David, when you were about 2 years old and you were just like everywhere, all over the place, all the time.
Yes.
And you got that hyperness, I think, from your mom. But I think that.
Wrong.
But, I said, Lord, who is this young person in our lives?
Yeah.
And what's give me a glimpse into this life that I could do a better job here? And then at that moment, I knew we were nourished in that particular branch of Christianity. But I knew in a moment's time that particular branch of faith really wasn't going to work for you and for our future. And so then I began to make adjustments how we could win. So it's partnering with our children. Now watch this one. It's partnering our children with each other. I remember telling one of my sons, hey, when your brother's out there on the football field, don't stand on the sideline sullen and sad and depressed. You clap your hands and cheer. He's your brother. And perhaps in this venue, he might get more attention than you. But your value, your love, it's there. It's there for all of us. But perhaps in another venue, you're going to get a lion's share of attention. And we all like that. We all like recognition.
Yes.
So making them a team, and I let's just go even a step further, Pastor Dave. I mean, of all our children and grandchildren, it happened that your face and your birthday is up here. So how do we really think about that? See, as a family. And the way we think about it is important, which is this. Take your gifts, Pastor Dave, which is pastoring, and I praise God for the marvelous job you and Summer are doing here. It's okay. Give God praise here, church. And the great team you're raising up here and how they work. Your team works so well with you. So we give God praise for that. But the thing of it is, see, develop that gift, strengthen that, go as far and as high and as long as you can in God. And because the Bible teaches, he gives somebody two talents. He gives somebody five talents. We all have different talents in different ways. It's our responsibility to multiply those talents. So in essence, don't feel guilty to your siblings that you're getting a lion's share of attention. It just happens to be the way it is in this way. But there's other gifts, other avenues of blessing for our other children, and then later for our grandchildren. So again, making a partnership with each other, child to child, child to parent, parent to parent, most of all, are partnering with God. I just want to close with this one thought, if I may, Pastor David. I know it's going a little bit, but what's the flip side of this? Power and control. So what is power and control basically? Well, power and control is a symptom of it, a sign of it is its dominance. And in the sense of that a person or relationship, it becomes almost like a servant to someone that's in power and who's making the rules, but they themselves, the rules don't apply to them. It just applies to the others. Or there's no rules coming back. It's not a partnership. And basically it comes from fear. What is the root of power control? Is basically, I've got to control you before you hurt me. See, I'm going to be hurt, so I got to control before I get hurt, so I don't get hurt, or if I do get hurt, it won't be as bad. And so, but that's coming from a defensive posture of the heart. And that's not how we're going to win in our lives, in our families, and with our children, and with really the people that we're to have a safe place with. And so, you know, it comes out in different ways, like isolating someone. It can be a form of power and control. It can be constantly denying or deflecting. It's always blaming somebody else. But what's the root of it? What is underneath that? And I think all of us have dealt with this, and we do deal with it as human beings, because in the natural, even though there's salvation in Christ, we are fallen, and we are broken. But what is the root of it? And if you really get down to the inner root of it, it's really a fear of not being loved or losing love. Or a fear and just an insecurity that there is a, in the sense that there's a lack of self-worth. Yes. Yeah. Really, it's a lack of self-esteem. So it comes out in a dominance, in a controlling way, and it disallows and it nullifies being loved, receiving love, and really giving love. So it's the opposite of partnership. And I want to close with this statement that, you know, how do we do that? Well, how do we deal with that? Well, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But the key is if we can go be introspective and go inward and say, man, this is a deep insecurity. I'd like to share it with you. I trust you. And open up to the vulnerabilities and insecurities in ourselves, and then we could pray about it. Ask God to touch us and heal us. That's when we can begin to grow and break through levels that want to hold us down. So partnership's the key. Power and control is the thing that's hurting us. thing we've got to sever and address.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Wow. He doesn't want us to call him this, but I definitely feel like he is Dr. Phil spiritually. So we're just laying out here on the couch as he just speaks, drops bombs of words on us, and we're just like, you know. But what I do, oh, go ahead.
Thank you, but please don't call me Dr. Phil. Please, 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 please.
Thank you. Just Brother Kim.
After Uganda, he will be having meetings set up afterwards. No, but I do appreciate, you know, even when you talk about the attention, I appreciate even in our family, you know, you purposely want to know you purposely want to know how are you doing? What's going on in your life? You know, for all of us siblings to hear what's going on, even the grandchildren, you know, you purposely do that, you know, Valerie or Jenny, Brian, all of us. So I appreciate you being an example to us on that. Our third point that I want to get to is community and blessing. And we'll find this in verse 5 where it says, may the Lord continually bless you from Zion. So that's a promise we're definitely going to get. We are going to be blessed. And he says, may you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. And I believe Jerusalem, you know, not only is it the physical Israel, but it's also representing our church community. And so I believe with, you know, we are going to get blessed. We are going to prosper. Our community is going to prosper. But it's so important. I'm going to set this up as far as with our church family, that we can thrive in our family. But man, what about the church? Because really the church, man, when the church is healthy, that's when everything else will become healthy. So my question to you, Mom Renee, is how can we make our church community a priority through the fast pace we're in?
Okay. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, it's making a decision that we are going to go to church. David said in Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then Paul says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So there's something powerful about coming to church, especially where the life of God is. And there's community, healthy community. And early on, of course, I was raised in a pastor's home. That's just what we did on Sunday morning. But I'm thankful that through the years, a desire in my heart did develop to be in the house of God. It's interesting to me how that on Sunday mornings, it seems like all chaos breaks out. And we can't seem to get to church. You know, we can get to work and we get our kids to school. We get to that exercise class. We get to that sale before. Yes. Nothing's going to stand in our way to get that bargain. Right, girls? Mm-hmm. Kohl's cash. But anyway, you know, I mean, it's just like I can't miss out. Let's just be real. But then on Sunday morning, it's like all hell breaks loose and the kids are sick or the car won't start or you're running late. And believe me, I experienced that so many mornings with four children to get up and get ready. And then I had to be at the church and start playing the piano and lead worship. And also, you know, sometimes we would get into an argument on Sunday morning. Yeah. Finally, I think we realized, you know, who's behind this? It's the devil. Let's just be real. And wanting to distract us, and he'd have to go over and preach, and I'd have to lead worship, and here we are. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just keep it real, right? But make a decision. My dad used to say, it's easy to serve God hard, but it's hard to serve God easy. It's you know, if we make that decision, you can make it happen, and then after a while, the chaos does end. It settles down a little bit. It's not as much because the household understands we're going to be in the house of God. It's Sunday.
It's good.
Get up. Let's get going. There's no quarrel about it. But invariably, something would happen to me after getting four kids ready. And I'm going to share one story. One Sunday morning, I had all kids ready to go. They looked great. You know, of course, in those days, our little boys wore ties. And, you know, we dressed up for church in those days. I'm wearing a t-shirt today. Praise God. Praise God. It's a good thing. So, you know, this child goes upstairs. I'm supposed to be at the church like 15, 10 minutes. He goes upstairs to use the bathroom, remains sitting on the stool while he flushed it. And for some reason that morning, the stool ran over while he was sitting on it. He didn't think about getting off of it. And, you know, needless to say, his clothes are soaked. You know, he was up there for a while. I thought, what is going on? I go up there, there's water everywhere. And I thought, dear God, I got to be at the church in 10 minutes. So I just threw towels on the floor, stripped him, got him redressed, went over there. And, you know, Jesus, if I ever needed you now, I need you now. Right. Sat down at that keyboard to play. But there will be things that will happen. And what the enemy wants us to do is just, forget it. Don't even go today. You got a good reason to stay home. Life was hard this morning, and they'll all understand. But you're going to miss out on a very powerful thing. And what happens when we come to the house of God is that community worship. Mm-hmm. Didn't the praise team do a great job this morning? And, you know, when we're here together, our hearts can open up more. It's easier to lift our hands and to praise the Lord. And somehow my heart opens up and I get refreshed. I get renewed. I get strengthened. And then the other value about our church family, and Pastor Dave preaches this a lot about life groups. I'm going to give a shout out to the Super Saints. That's my life group. Amen. But the community within life groups and people that will come to you and say, Pastor Renee, this child's been on my heart. I've been praying for Pastor Dave, or I've been praying for Jenny. I've been praying for Josh. I've been praying for Zach. I've been praying for Pastor Summer, Val. You know, I've had that experience with every single family member, sometimes my grandchildren. You cannot put a dollar on that. You cannot put a value on that. But when God moves on the hearts of your community and prays, say, pray for that child. Pray for the pastor. Pray for, you know, wow. Thank you, God. So then the spiritual provision has expanded on behalf of your family and on your children, just through the community outreach of love and praying for each other and loving each other. So make the house of God a priority. Eliminate the chaos on Sunday morning and get here as you are here today and come expecting and believe God for great things. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Isn't that good? There's something that happens when we're here and you watching online. And I saw my mom in particular just, you know, get us together. I remember hearing Jenny scream in the other room as she brushed her hair. And then 10 minutes later, everyone, let's stand up. Let's love Jesus today. He's playing away, you know. I'm sure she's like, oh, my God. And then, but she pushed through.
Yeah.
And she made a priority that we would be in church. Yes. And you could say, well, you were the pastors. But some pastors quit.
Right. Yeah.
And some pastor's spouse don't come. So just because we're, you know, pastors, I mean, you know, please don't think this is automatic.
Right.
Because you got to fight for it. Mm-hmm. And then we were in sports and our lives were hectic and we, you know, had a hard time having dinners. In fact, my parents changed. We used to have midweek service. They changed the night of that service so that we could still have church in the middle of the week and they could go to my sporting events. Mm-hmm. And so, and they did that to put the value on the family. And my mom, we'd be rushing around from, you know, basketball to football, going to Steak and Shake on North College, having dinner so many times during the week at Steak and Shake, cheeseburgers and fries and chili five-way. Come on, somebody. And then get in the car and just run off to church or run off to the next thing. But we ate together as a family, and we were in the house of God, and she helped forge that together. And then my dad would be in the stands yelling air ball as we played basketball. He would come down and yell at the coach.
No,
and then
dinner tonight.
People would be like, man, this is a preacher. Dear God. I mean, he's kind of crazy right here. I don't know about him. And but we had good times. And I want to encourage you today on all these points. You know, whether you have a lot or have little, my mom showed me this. Whether, you know, you have a lot of money, you don't, or your life is good or bad. You know what? You can make family a priority. And you can make God's house a priority. And I saw my mom do it in ways that were Steak and Shake and walking through a park and picking up persimmons. But we were together and we made moments together and we were in the house of God together. And every one of us in this room and online, I want to encourage you to take advantage and put a value on God's house and put a value on your family, and God will bless you. Even if it's hard, He will bless you as you put a value on what matters most.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Can I just add one thing? And also, those of us who probably don't have a close-knit family, even in the community, you can find surrogate fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. So that's why it's also important as well.
Yeah. So this is the last promise. Notice in verse 6, the final verse, he says that may you live to enjoy your grandchildren. That's a great promise. And many of you are enjoying that now. And some of us are not. Others of us are praying for our spouse. We're waiting to get married. Others of us are having children. We're in the process of, you know, getting them off of diapers or whatnot. But no matter where we're at in the process of life, we have a promise that we can have longevity and that we can enjoy our grandchildren. This psalm is a full picture of what God wants to do, I believe, for every family. No family is exempt. And so, Dad, I want to ask you, what can we do on a daily basis, both big and small, to build a strong family bond that as the phases change in life, we can enjoy each other, and we can enjoy our grandchildren, our children, and the generations before we go home to heaven?
Yeah. I want to talk about unrealistic expectations and how that can eat away and chip away at our relationships and what that means. What does that mean, you know, unrealistic expectations? You might remember, I hope you don't remember some of this, but, you know, coaching down at Smithville years ago, one of your first teams, and of course others played there too, but, you know, the parents, here we are like 5, 6, 7 years old, and the parents, not all but some, you know, are ultra serious, incredibly sober, overly intense, and you could just see the wheel. You could see the wheels turning. Now, here, little guys just—they're trying to chase. You know, they don't even know how to dribble a ball. They're just chasing it. You know, trying to dribble it. And they're dreaming. My son's going to play for IU.
Wow.
At that time, Coach Knight is going to coach my son. You know, and it was. And you could just tell, in some cases, you know, some of the kids, they weren't going to be basketball players. I mean, let's be real. And you know, what's wrong with 4-H? I mean, there's other things besides
Science Olympiad.
Besides one sport. But here's the problem with it, though. So then we have parents, and then we have to ask ourselves, is this some narcissistic dream that I want my child to excel, ultimately to make me look good so I get attention or affirmation? But what if that's not the gifts of the child? What if his or her gifts are better at something else? And that's what they should be doing. So the whole point of it is, it sets it up. It sets that relationship up to failure.
That's good.
In other words, we can do that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Unrealistic expectations.
Right.
I didn't, you know, I'm a failure. Takes out joy. Takes out peace. But it's even more tragic and torturing, I think, to a child. Yes. Basically, you're a failure.
Yeah.
And the child didn't ask for it.
But
it was a parent's overbearing nature that put something in that child that shouldn't be there, or whatever that be. So that being said, the emotional gates have got to be open and got to stay open. Because one of the problems we got into with you, David, was in middle school, for whatever reason, our emotional gates weren't open, were closed, or partially, barely open in the home. And so what happened? You connected with the wrong group. I say wrong in the sense of wrong values, wrong behaviors, going the wrong direction, academically, spiritually, socially, basically breaking laws. What happened? What happened was, just because the doors were closed doesn't mean the emotion stopped.
So
They're going to connect somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this applies to spouses too. So if we shut emotional doors, well, emotions don't stop because somebody shuts a door.
So good.
And they're going to connect with somebody. And it could be a person that doesn't have our best interest or our family's best interest. In other words, somebody that has an agenda. So let's keep the emotional, you know, we have to ask ourselves this question. These questions, can we in our family be safe enough to say, you know, I am deeply angry. I am deeply disappointed. I'm dealing with a sense of failure and anxiety. And would that be okay to say that? And then can we hear hearts and can we pray and be there for each other? Or on the other side, can we celebrate and say, man, I feel like $1 million, so to speak. I'm winning. I don't know, some homes, you can't say you're winning. Because it makes somebody else feel bad because you're winning. No, we got to be able to share and to say emotions on the whole degree of the spectrum.
That's good.
And have that safe place. And is our families set up for that? And can we do that? We've got to keep these emotional gates open. And we've got to look to Christ, who's the head of the church, for his power in all of it.
Yes. Isn't that good stuff right there? Good. So in closing, I just want to recap. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to stand and pray, and we'll have a fun time outside at the after party. Mm-hmm. No matter, again, where your family is, if you feel like your family is broken, you feel like it's doing great, you feel like it's doing bad, you feel like you're the only one, I want to encourage you. All God needs is one person. And if there's been a trend in your family that's been a certain way, I know that God can use you to change the trend. And so we all start somewhere. And so notice, you know, with our career and our attitude, my mom, she talked about having adjustments, choosing joy, whether we're getting paid a lot or paid little, whether it's where we want to be or we hate being there or whatever it is, we choose joy and we're faithful with where we are so God can take us to a further place. Then we talked about parenting and marriage, or marriages and parenting. And we discussed about, you know, not being, not getting into power and control, but rather having a partnership with our spouse and then with our kids. And then having our family be a team as well and being partners in life together. That's a huge point. I want to encourage all of us to consistently reject power and control and choose, instead of I'm right, you're wrong, how can we be right together? All right? That's a partnership. Then we talked about valuing church in the family unit. My mom talked about just make a decision, man. Just make a decision, you know, that in our house, we're going to be a part of church. And it's a part of what we do. We go on vacation or we do this or we do that and we go to church. This is what we do. And when you do that, she said that the chaos that maybe would, you know, pop up will eventually leave because you made a decision. You made a decision. This is what we're doing. And then we talked about longevity and enjoying our grandchildren and our families growing old together, basically. And my dad talked about having the emotional gate being open and not having unrealistic expectations on our kids or on ourselves, and to really set this up so that we bond over time, whether they, you know, play sports or do science or do band or do whatever. It doesn't matter. But, man, I mean, you're my son. You're my daughter. And we're going to grow together. And one day when you have kids, I'm going to be close to you to enjoy my grandchildren because we've built the bonds along the way. How many believe that? That God can do this for you and your family. I believe he can. How many want this? I want this. This spoke to me today. So let's stand to our feet if you don't mind in this moment. You online, thank you for being a part and just stay tuned in here. Please bow your head and bow your heart to heaven today. I want to encourage you with these next couple moments of responding to Jesus today. You know, I believe our families are blessed and have so many abilities and so many opportunities, especially in the Western world. But really, without Jesus, it's impossible for our family to be totally healed. Without Jesus, it's impossible for our family to have inner peace. Only God can do that. And so as your head is bowed and you online as well, you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, in my lifetime, I've never asked Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. And or I have asked Jesus at one point in my life, but right now today, I know I'm far from Him. And so if one of those spots you find yourself in, and you know it, this is your moment to receive Christ. As hearts are bowed, heads are bowed. And you would say, you know what, that's me. I've never received Christ and I want to, and or I have, but I'm far from Him and I'm coming back to God today. If that's you right now, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you in this room to receive Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. I see it. God bless you. I see it all the way in the very back. Good. God, I see it. God bless you. Come on, give them a hand. People are coming to God. Good job. I see it over here. Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just a little bit longer, and you would say, Pastor Dave, my family's good. My family's bad. I'm lonely. I'm married. I'm wanting, no matter what, no matter where you're at. You would say, you know what? I want God in my career. I want God to help me in my marriage and in my parenting. I want God to help me in my life. I want God to help me with my church in the focus of having a God-centered life. I want God to help me have longevity, that I would enjoy the seasons of my family. I want God to help me one step at a time, one day at a time. You don't have to get it all in a moment, just one day at a time. You would say, you know what? I want that in my life. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you and your family all over this room and you online. Hands up all over. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Follow me and say, Lord Jesus, I give you me. I'm yours. For any sin in my life, please forgive me. And I turn away from it. And I serve you. I give you me. And I commit my family into your will. Do what I can't do. Heal me. And let your potential flow through my life and my family's life. We give it all to you in the name of Jesus. As the prayer team comes down, I just feel this for this worship experience. If you don't mind, if you're comfortable, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I'll raise mine with you. We'll do it together. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of winning. As the prayer team comes down and gets ready, I pray for every family in this room and those online. I pray, God, that you would heal the deepest wound and you would bridge the greatest gap. I pray that you would mend the past, and I pray that you would give us hope for the present and we would look to the future with expectation. No matter what trend may be there of abuse or addiction or poverty, or no matter what it is, Lord, I believe that it can change under your grace and your power. Through your Holy Spirit, you can do anything for this or for these families. God, do it in Jesus' name. Give us hope and let us take something today. Let us take a small step and move forward, and let us give you something to work with. And when we do, I ask Jesus, you would take it and you would do a miracle in our home. You would do a miracle, and I pray that all of us would see the trajectory of our family tree change by the grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. If you believe it, give Him a great hand clap of praise. I believe God can do it. Jesus' name. Now, I feel it. Now, the band's going to come back out, and we're going to worship God for a few moments. The prayer team's down here. Here's what we're going to do. If you receive Jesus, I want to encourage you to come down and just let us help you take your next step. If you have a prayer request about anything you heard today or something different, please come down and receive prayer. You can take communion. It's along the side walls. Or you can just sit in your seat. But participate for the next 3 minutes or so. And then the band will dismiss us, and we'll see you outside for the after party. We'll have a great time. May the Lord bless you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He be good to you. And may the Lord give you peace. And for this message, may Jesus come to all of our homes. And may He do a miracle in our family. In Jesus' name, amen.